Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you.
My guests this week are two executives from Atlassian, Jay Simons, the president, and Archana Rao, the chief information officer. In this interview, Jay and Archana discuss the unique culture of Atlassian. Both note that the company is extremely open, honest, and direct. The work of the executives is transparent to the rest of the company, and Archana believes that allowing people to see others' work, performance, and perspectives provides a recognition that there are challenges everywhere, and it builds an immensely strong culture because people tend to work well together in this way. Jay has seen the company grow from 100 to 3,000 employees in his 11 years with the company, and he believes that this culture has scaled remarkably, which in his mind is a testament to the foundational parts of the culture that the company created at the outset. Prior to joining Atlassian, Archana was the vice president of IT at Veritas Technologies and at Symantec before that, while Jay was the vice president of marketing at BEA Systems before joining Atlassian as vice president of sales and marketing in 2008.
Archana Rao, welcome to Technovation. It's nice to speak with you today.
Thrilled to be part of this conversation with you, Peter.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, Archana, you've been the chief information officer of Atlassian for about a year, roughly. And I wonder if you could reflect on the company you found and the journey in the past year.
Yeah, it's actually yesterday was my one-year anniversary.
Happy
in
Atlassian.
Part of me is just amazed at how quickly time has gone by. It's just tons of potential opportunities coming into the company. When I was talking to Atlassian, you know, I've always known of Atlassian more from the product side, right? Every company I've been part of, we've used Atlassian products, to drive agile delivery, collaborate. I was really amazed, having been part of the journey in my previous companies, I was amazed at how much the users of Atlassian love our products. And that's a rare thing, right? People that use technology and applications saying, I love this product and I want to use it. They tell other people and other people want to use it. So that kind of customer love is pretty rare. And it was, something that I've always admired about Atlassian. The other thing that as I was going through talking to, the leaders at Atlassian, during my interviews, I realized that there was a very deep hunger for IT to be a part of this journey to help scale the company. As Atlassian has grown from, a very small company to $1 billion or a company that has $1 billion in revenue. In that journey and our kind of the next wave as we kind of aspire to get to that $5 billion in revenue, there's a lot of scale challenges that we're going to face. And I think IT has the potential to be part of that journey, to help in the transformation and to really be a business enabler in this part of the journey. So to me that, people talk about seat at the table. It was there, right? There was a hunger for us to really have a seat at the table and be part of that journey and be a business enabler to Atlassian. So that was really interesting. The third part that I've always heard a lot about was the Atlassian culture. And, been part of many companies. I have to say after I joined Atlassian that I realized that how much of this culture is, it's not just words on a piece of paper or, window dressing. We live it. The teams talk about it. We write pages about it. It's part of our DNA and how we work. And that was a, big eye opener for me. I didn't realize how much of a strength that culture is to Atlassian and to our success.
And how would you describe the culture?
The culture is open, no BS. It totally suits me, I feel, and my personality because I'm a very direct person. And what I found coming in is, people are direct. Most of the content that we put out there for, consumption across the company, it's all left open by design. So you can actually go look up everything that I'm trying to do, my strategy, what are the things I'm putting in place, my QBR, all of that is available. How am I doing in terms of my key results? Am I doing well? Am I not doing well? Anyone in the company can go take a look at that, and have a sense for what IT's up to. And I think that just builds, a really strong culture of, people tend to work together really well. They can see each other's worlds, and there's just that recognition that, you know, there's challenges everywhere. And it shows up in care. It shows up in how people work with each other. And that's pretty unique.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned Atlassian's meteoric rise and the scale challenges associated with it, an organization growing as fast as this one. Mm-hmm. How do you get out ahead of that? What do you, as you think about, of course, how much it's grown in the past year, but of course, how much it will continue to grow, how do you think about planning from that perspective?
You know, over the last year, as I looked at the landscape of what I've inherited, we've kind of grown up a little bit disorganized into what we are today as IT. The thing that I started looking at is there is a fair bit of tech debt that we need. There's a fair bit of cleanup we have to do. But also looking ahead, what is that kind of small team or whose responsibility is it in IT to look ahead and around the corners, right? So we created a team called Enterprise Architecture in IT whose responsibility is to really be the folks that are in front, paving the roads and allowing the delivery teams to have the runway to go fast, because speed is critical in Atlassian. At this pace of growth, the demand for IT capabilities, new capabilities and transformation is just ever present, right? So how do you kind of get ahead of that? We're leveraging a team that we call Enterprise Architecture. Their job is to help connect the dots across the enterprise, look ahead, look at what we can do opportunistically in trying to clean up the environment we're in. You know, there's a lot of duplication, a lot of products that, you know, you could consolidate into one. But we can't do that as we can't stop everything. Say, everybody stop asking us for stuff. We're going to just focus on this. We can't afford to do that. Because the company is growing and we want to continue to build and solve, for companies' needs today. So we have to solve for the past. We have to solve for the present and we have to look ahead into the future. We kind of have to balance all three. And as far as the past, we're being very opportunistic. We look at projects, as kind of the engines that can drive some additional, you know, take some more capabilities along. And we're like, if we're doing this, could we actually decommission this? And I challenge my team. I'm like, we shouldn't just have build parties or, you know, we've shipped something, we should have decommissioning parties because that continues to, you know, pay down our tech debt.
That's great. And you, you've worked for multiple technology companies prior to this one, Veritas Technologies, Symantec, Cisco. And so you know what the destination in some ways looks like of these behemoths that were your predecessor companies. Mm-hmm. How useful has it been to understand what a company like this might look like at scale and kind of work your way back to project forward some of those things while I'm sure also doing things differently given the differences of an organization like this?
Yeah. You know, when I joined Cisco, we were about this size. We were the size of Atlassian. So I've kind of seen Cisco go through that journey. I think there's usually you learn a lot from the growth of organizations on what to do, but you also learn what not to do. So I think the mistakes I've made or learnings I've had just going through that different types of transformation in these companies help inform what, you know, how I look at problems today and how my team is helping kind of pave the future for Atlassian IT. So I think there's both sides to that.
Yeah. And what is your purview? Describe kind of your responsibilities as CIO.
In very simple terms, IT or my job as CIO is to run the internal systems for Atlassian. The way I always think about an IT leader's job, who are our customers? So we think of three groupings of customers in Atlassian IT. The first is really all employees are our customers. They use our laptops, our Wi-Fi, VPN, building capabilities, collaboration capabilities. So that's definitely every employee is a customer. And as a customer, when I came into my day one at Atlassian, I was really impressed at how well that part of IT runs, because by noon, I was up and running, having meetings. I took my laptop home, I VPN'd in, and I was in, navigating the enterprise, trying to find information and data. So day one, the fact that we can get our employees productive on day one, I mean, that's something that it shows care, and the team takes a lot of pride in getting people up and running. So our employees are our customers. The second group of customers, which is where a lot of desire for productivity improvements and transformation will come from, are our business functions. So finance teams, marketing teams, sales, they're all our customers, and they have different asks from us, depending on where we are in the maturity curve of, transformations, and productivity and revenue uplift, et cetera. So that's the second grouping of customers. In Atlassian IT, I think we have, this is unique to us, and to maybe other B2C companies. We also support the customers of Atlassian in how they come to our website, try and buy a product, get billed for it. So my team supports commerce, for Atlassian. And that's, again, through that, we touch our, Atlassian customers. Mm-hmm. So that's how I think of, the purview of the IT organization. From a IT perspective, our desire really is to be trusted partners, to all of our stakeholders, and really drive a level of capability and transformation for their businesses, and delight them, with amazing solutions and innovative solutions. So that's really our desire, to get there. And, we are on that journey right now.
How big is the team?
The team is about 200 people globally. We have footprint in Sydney and Austin, as well as Mountain View, San Francisco. We have really small teams in Manila and Netherlands, which is where our site is. So obviously, you'll need people there. But we're setting up a big team now in India, Bengaluru. So that's just up and coming.
Interesting. And how does your team use Atlassian's own products? I must imagine that's an advantage of your role, is that you can be a user in addition to doing all the things you just described.
Yeah, it is amazing. I think the IT teams are grounded in the Atlassian foundation of, and our mission of unleashing the potential of a team. So we have teams, we build software. So we are grounded in how we take advantage of the open company principles, as well as using Agile to deliver continuous improvement in any of the areas that we're in. So we have strong engineering teams, and as a user of our own product, to build products, right? I think we use all of Atlassian's, we use Jira, we use Confluence, Trello, as well as all of the build tools like Bitbucket, Bamboo, etc. So my team has a lot of Atlassian product users, but we also host Atlassian products for the rest of our employees. So we host Confluence as our intranet or a wiki for the entire company. So we have we wear two hats, as a user as well as a service provider. And I think the way we're using our products is definitely there's potential for us to tell the story of how IT can be a lot more successful in driving open, driving agile, and being able to deliver to our stakeholders' requirements in a quick manner.
Interesting. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of the trends that you're following right now. What are some of the technology trends that particularly excite you as you look to the future?
Yeah, I think it is really interesting what's happening in the data space. And Atlassian, as many other companies that are SaaS cloud companies, is hungry for data, right? We almost every group I talk to want more data, want real-time data, want actionable data, data that they can make decisions on. There's just been tremendous work or innovation in that space in the industry. So we're trying to look across the spectrum of that and figure out how we can, one, build really strong, we've used engineering capabilities to build really strong foundation for data. So all our data comes into one common place where there's quality is maintained, it's cleansed. And now it's really the fun part is how we use this data, right? How do we apply data science capabilities on top of it? So that foundation is something that we're very proud of and we want to preserve. But we also now have the ability to start giving really rich, useful data to our various stakeholders, whether it be finance or marketing. That to me is exciting. So we're absolutely watching the trends in that space as the IT team and my data engineering team participates in a lot of the conferences to actually garner insight into what are the right technologies that we should be going and procuring for to help the needs of our business. So that's a very rich space right now and highly valuable, I think, to the companies that use them. The other area that I'm really excited about, I used to be in product before in Cisco, and then I moved from products to IT. And I'm just amazed at how much work in the early 2000 went into really driving productivity, right? Like all of the technologies that have come into IT were really driving a significant level of productivity. And you would have thought by now we would have like topped off. But we haven't. This new technology coming in, like things like RPA that we're beginning to play around in, is going to create a different, it's going to change the curve, I feel, of what we can do from a productivity perspective. And for a company like, as I talked about, we came in here, we have tech debt. There's a lot of manual processes. And how do we actually look at bot technology to really look at business process reengineering and applying some of these capabilities to help the business? Because you can't double, if you're going to double in size, you're going to double the amount of manual processes too. And it just becomes this heavy thing that you have to take with you as you grow. And I think we have an opportunity to, again, really, really impact in a very positive way the productivity of the players in the company. So that, to me, is really exciting. And I'm really intrigued by how many different product companies are building this into their workflow, right? Almost every companies out there offering more RPA capabilities, AI, ML capabilities in their platform. So every company is kind of playing around with it within their platforms. There's, independent solutions that can help stitch together different products from different companies. So we are beginning to really get excited about the potential there for Atlassian.
Excellent. Well, Archana Rao, thank you so much for sharing your perspectives. It's been a very nice conversation.
Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Jay Simons, welcome to Technovation. Great to speak with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I thought we would begin, Jay. You are the president of Atlassian, and wanted to, for those who might be unfamiliar with Atlassian's business, I wanted to just hear in your own words an overview of the business.
Atlassian's mission is to unleash the potential of every team, and we do that through software that we create that helps teams basically work better together. And so, our products are in 130,000 different organizations, and you may have heard some of them. Jira, which is used to help teams organize and manage projects and work. Confluence helps teams create and share content. Trello, it's a pretty versatile product that teams use for all different things, from planning to brainstorming to, running smaller projects.
Mm-hmm. And you've been with the company for 11 years now. I can only imagine the amount of change that you've witnessed across that time. Can you compare, just in a few sentences, the company you found and the company that you're now a part of?
Well, we were a lot smaller with, fewer products in the portfolio. But, I think the foundation and the ambition of what the company wanted to achieve was there. I think focused on teamwork and helping people basically, realize their full potential. I think early on, the company recognizes that that as human beings, we tend to want to celebrate sort of a single lone genius, or, you know, maybe the instigator of something over the, you know, groups of people that are kind of required to bring that great idea or spark of creativity to life. And so that was still there. And, you know, we've managed to scale and grow it, adding products, you know, I think improving kind of the surface area of the product to reach, you know, a more diverse audience. And so back in 2008, when I joined, the company was mostly focused on, or largely focused on, technical teams and the really hard, complex work that technical teams were involved in creating and shaping, you know, digital change inside of their businesses, and creating and shipping software. And you fast forward now 11 years, and I think the diversity of teams that use Atlassian to unleash their potential and be more productive as a group of people that are trying to accomplish something together is much wider.
Mm-hmm. It's been said that the culture here is unique. I mean, all the cultures are unique, but that it's one of the driving forces of this organization, the reason why people join the company. Can you describe, in your own words, the culture of the organization?
I would say that, you know, Atlassian, culturally, it's a company that is very serious but doesn't take itself seriously. And I love that about it. You know, I think if you meet an Atlassian, I think they're very determined and focused on what we're trying to achieve as a company and as an organization. And yet, I think we're lighthearted and good-spirited, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, we have five core values. I can't repeat them all because a couple of them are sort of laced with profanity. But, you know, I think they're foundational to the type of culture that we built, to the types of people that we attract that want to contribute to it. And I think, you know, remarkably, we've been able to scale the company at more than 3,000 people feels pretty similar to the company that I joined when it was just 100. And I think that is, really hard to do, but I think is testament to sort of the foundational parts of the culture and foundational parts of the company that we created, and sort of the value system, and then also the mission. And I think we just had, you know, a lot of optionality in what we are. It's a really big, ambitious mission. And I think the culture kind of unifies how we work together and, you know, what we're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. The executive team spans the globe. The co-CEOs are both in Australia. You are here in San Francisco, where we are today. And how does that work? How has, you know, not having an entire executive team under one roof? And I mean, I suppose the easy answer is it's never been that way for you since you've been with the organization. But can you talk a bit about how the team works together despite the time differences, the distance, et cetera?
Well, naturally, I think our secret weapon is the products that we make. I mean, we make products that basically help people work together. Mm-hmm. And so you don't need to be in the same room, you know, with all staring at the same whiteboard, or in the same office where you can basically hop a staircase or an elevator down to sort of, like, you know, collaborate and connect on an idea. You can, use our products to basically, work together more effectively. And so I think we are definitely superpower users of our own technology, and that's made a big difference. I think another big difference is, you know, one of our beliefs is just that openness is a force multiplier on teamwork and unleashing the potential of teams. And all of our products basically are open by default. And so Confluence is basically, you know, is a product that teams use to create and share content together and iterate on that content, long form content. And Confluence, when you begin, the page is open by default, and then you can secure it and sort of limit the number of people that can view it. But it begins with an open page, and then you sort of declare later who you want to limit visibility to. And most products that you would use to create and share content are inverted, where the only person that can see the page as you're beginning to draft it is you, and you have to share it externally. You have to decide, well, who now do I want to share this with? And that can seem like a small thing, but it has a really pronounced effect, where inside of our company, we work in the open and we draft in the open. And so, you know, when I'm creating something, I'm comfortable being vulnerable, and I'm comfortable with any of 3,000 people, you know, correcting something, Maybe it could be a grammar or a typo. Maybe it could be an idea. Maybe it could be, hey, have you thought about what you're kind of working on from this angle? And the value of that type of open contribution really early in the process means that, you know, my opinions and ideas aren't hardened by working sort of in isolation from other people's perspectives and ideas and inputs. And I think that's a big part of how the executive team, but a big part of how the company works. And, part of that is cultural. Part of that is sort of enabled by the technology and the products and sort of the way that, you know, we believe teamwork is best. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a bit about the strategy, you know, for the foreseeable future? What are some of the imperatives that you and the team are working on right now?
I think it's basically continuing what we started, and you know it's a big ambitious mission. We talk a lot about trying to reach the Fortune 500,000. We have 130,000 companies, and so you know we still have a long way to go just in terms of the market that we're trying to reach. But you know the broader ambition is we aspire to have of basically every knowledge worker use one or more Atlassian products every day. And so in pursuit of what they're trying to accomplish, irrespective of their walk of life, whether they're technical or marketing, HR, finance, sales, it doesn't matter what function they're in the business, the things that they're trying to do collectively with another group of people, we believe can be better enabled through our products. And so that's what we're working towards. And, you know, there are over 1 billion knowledge workers in the world. I don't actually know how many companies, Fortune might, but you know, there's more than 500,000. So there's, I think, lots of companies yet to reach, and certainly lots of the billion knowledge workers on the planet that continues to grow for us to reach.
And can you talk a bit about the some of the industries and your ambition? Of course, it sounds as though it's going to span all industries and a variety of functions. But to this point, where have been some of the areas of focus or greatest success?
Well, common starting point for us in any organization is a group of people, a team, or sort of a teams of teams that are working on technology development and technology transformation. And so, you know, one of the big waves that has driven a lot of Atlassian growth and continues to is just this notion that, you know, every company on the planet is becoming a software company or like a software company, where their future growth, their survival, their differentiation in the market against competitors is probably driven by technology, not necessarily a product that they're going to build and sell, but maybe how they use technology to transform their operation. You know, one good example that we shared recently was ANZ Bank, which is, you know, 150-year-old bank, one of the largest banks in Australia. And the CEO of that company kind of declared war on how the bank worked, and recognizing that, you know, what got the bank here over the last 150 years is probably not what's going to get the bank, you know, through the next 150. And so we began inside of that bank with groups that were building technology to reshape the bank. And then naturally, in part because, you know, those teams and the work that they're doing is so intensely collaborative, needs to be open or benefits from being open, and is super complex. All the moving parts of, you know, what could we use technology to change or improve? An idea that anyone can come up with. And then you have to translate that idea effectively into code in the case of software that you're going to write and build. And, you know, code is being developed in concert with people that are shaping requirements and, you know, and giving iterative feedback and writing documentation and writing specifications, and all those things feed into this, you know, constantly moving, you know, agile collaborative process. But you know, the building blocks in our products that help teams work better together are universal to how any team works. And so that kind of technology, you know, change and technology transformation is a big driver of where Atlassian's brought in. And then just the versatility and, I think, general utility of our products helps us spread.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in your career with the company, you were the vice president of sales and marketing, and the company took a very non-traditional approach to marketing. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, as well as the rationale behind it.
So, you know, I think our model generally, you know, is characterized by just prioritizing the customer and the buyer. and trying to remove as much friction from the customer or buyer's path as possible. And so, you know, we do some things that are a little more conventional now in kind of modern SaaS and cloud products, but, you know, we're super unconventional in 2002 as an enterprise software company. We publish pricing. Like, all of our pricing is open and transparent. There's no part of our website that says contact us to figure out how much this costs so we can talk to you about it. You know, we made the product free to try. And you know, when you're trying to reach hundreds of thousands to millions of people, you have to really focus on building a product that is going to bring people, you know, effectively all the way to be active and engaged. And so the belief was, you know, most people actually want to figure things out on their own if it's easy. And if it's hard, actually, they're going to raise their hand and say, I need help. And so, you know, we prioritized, make it as easy as possible, continue to refine the process. And like, where a customer stumbles or they raise their hand and they say, hey, I need help here. Why was that? And is that something that we can remove so the future or the next customer behind them doesn't have to raise their hand if they don't want to? If they want to, great. If they don't want to, you know, you don't have to. And so I think, you know, the company Atlassian has, you know, really pioneered, I think, this alternative approach to at least selling businesses software or, you know, other businesses software, B2B software. It's a lot more consumer oriented. If you think about us as consumers, like even when you go into a retail store, I mean, for the most part, probably especially guys, you only really want help if you need it. If things are sort of laid out and simple and you know, you kind of go in, that's sort of how most of us prefer to shop. And so I think we've been able to scale that approach, you know, basically since our founding, and have built, you know, what we sort of think of as this flywheel where, you know, by the way, the other kind of key input to the model is building a product that is remarkable, because word of mouth is the key, you know, propellant of our growth. And we chose that word early on in our formation, remarkable, because, you know, intentionally it was, we wanted to build a product where a user felt compelled to remark about it. And so you would say to a friend or to a relative or just somebody at a bar or kind of at a weekend barbecue, hey, I use this thing at work and I love it and it's great. And that is a really powerful force and has been a core propellant of our growth, that word of mouth. And so I think the model kind of begins and ends with building great product, refining it, and then removing friction from the customer's path.
Mm-hmm. In recent years, you've made some strategic acquisitions. OpsGenie, last year, Trello the year prior. Can you talk a bit about like the criteria you use as you think about either filling in holes in your portfolio or the right kinds of companies to bring into the fold?
I think Atlassian's done 19 acquisitions, I think, in its 17 year history, 16 year history, and so I think we have a healthy pattern of organic development and releasing new products that we build ourselves, constantly improving the ones that already exist to make sure that, you know, Jira is our oldest product, and Jira in 2019 kind of barely resembles the Jira of, you know, even 2010. And so that takes a lot of effort, making sure that in the hands of somebody new that's discovering it for the first time, it is super modern and even more effective at the jobs that it could be hired by a customer to do. And then we've complemented that with acquisitions and adding new products and technology to the portfolio. It really depends on kind of the market and what we're going after. In some cases, you know, we've acquired technology that augments a product that we're building. So Jira Service Desk is a product. We acquired a technology that added service level agreement capabilities to Jira Service Desk. So that's an example of just, instead of building that capability, acquiring it, sort of blending it into the product that we're offering. And in the case of Trello and OpsGenie, those were two products that had, product market fit in their respective markets. And so they built, you know, a pretty rich and deep, you know, technology that addressed a problem that they'd identified and resonated with the market, with customers, and had kind of momentum and velocity. And then we also care deeply about culture fit. And so I think in model fit, and in both of those cases, in every case that we've acquired a technology, the cultures are really similar. I think the belief in unleashing team potential and helping people accomplish more faster or with less and more effectively is sort of center to what the products do. And so that's part of the acquisition strategy. And then the believing in the sort of high velocity model where, you know, the product is doing a huge part of the selling. And then, you know, people are complementing that by removing friction and serving and helping the customer. And so that's sort of the thesis, and where we decide to build and where we decide to buy is sort of a calculus that involves a bunch of different things.
As you look to the future, what are some trends or technologies that are particularly exciting you at the moment?
Well, I'm excited about the products that we have and just the opportunity for the products that still remains in front of them. I mean, you know, one statistic that we shared just in our last earnings call is I think, you know, we have 130,000 customers roughly, and our largest and oldest product has 65,000. So even in, you know, the existing base of customers, Jira Software has a lot of room just to grow within itself. And then, you know, when you think about just the continued wave of companies that are becoming more digital native. I mean, they're trying to operate as if they were a startup, are trying to move with the velocity of a sort of a poster child Silicon Valley technology company, because I think they recognize that they need to in order to be competitive or in order to be more dynamic or create more opportunity for themselves. So I think you know that there's just a ton of opportunity left in kind of what we need to do to make those products better and to reach more of the market. I think in terms of technology trends, you know, machine learning, I think is maybe an oft buzzword or an oft used kind of theme, but ultimately, as a provider of collaboration technology and products that people use to work better together, the software, I think, can help people achieve more. And not just in terms of giving them a place to compost ideas or to organize projects and tasks, but software can look at what other people are doing and make recommendations to help to help you become more effective as just an individual contributor to the team, or shortcut things that you're doing. And when it sees you do five things in a row, maybe the sixth time, it can make a suggestion in advance. And so I think, you know, we sit on tremendous amount of data and kind of usage patterns, and our products have a whole bunch of connection points between people and what they're trying to accomplish. And we can use those to basically, shorten the cycle of what people are trying to accomplish.
Excellent. Well, Jay, thank you so much for taking time with me today. It's been great to get your perspective.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, excellent. Good. Anything you would have wished to cover that we didn't?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Covered. All good. Yeah. Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah. So nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks very much.
No, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week. My guest will be Harry Mosley, the Chief Information Officer of Zoom.